August 14th, 2018 was a very special day.
Okay.
On this day, my wife and I arrived at Nashville International Airport with our children, our suitcases, and our calling to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. From the day of our arrival in Brazil on August 15th, 2018, to the day of our departure for furlough on June 2nd, 2022, over 5 million Brazilians slipped off into eternity. 5 million. My heart is broken, knowing that the majority of them went into eternity without Christ. With the oppressive influence of the Roman Catholic Church, coupled with the recent explosion in popularity of pseudo-evangelical churches and cults, the need for the gospel and gospel-preaching churches is greater now more than ever. Hello, we're the Gerwitz family, missionaries serving in Brazil since 2018. My name is Zach, my wife is Stephanie, and we have four children, Caitlin, Remington, Chloe, and Kay Marie. We're sent by Madison Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. Shortly after arriving in Brazil, the Lord directed us to enroll in a language school in the city of Franca, São Paulo, which is located in the northern part of the state. This afforded us the opportunity to work with another missionary from our church, Pastor Bob Nichols Jr., at his church plant, Igreja Batista Independente Nova Vida. In October 2019, the Lord allowed me to go to the Amazon with a group of pastors and missionaries from our area. We flew to Manaus, got on a boat, and headed 22 hours up the Rio Negro to the city of Santa Isabel do Rio Negro. The missionary there hosted an evangelistic conference, and we saw many indigenous people from the interior of Brazil come to know Christ as their Savior. In 2020, Pastor Nichols returned to the States for furlough, and we stepped in to take care of the work in his absence. And then the pandemic hit.
Aqui as medidas certas, na hora certa, no momento correto.
My first Sunday as pastor of this church was live-streamed from my living room. For the next 6 months, this would be the routine. But God is good, as He's always been. Our people stayed faithful to the Lord, and God took a horrible situation and made something good out of it. Pastor Nichols returned in 2021, and praise God, the church has seen tremendous growth since then. We spent the last year of our term serving at Igreja Batista Independente in Franca, São Paulo, under its Brazilian pastor, Paulo Castellan, where the Lord allowed us to get involved with its various ministries, including preaching, evangelism, music, and teaching Sunday school. With furlough approaching, my wife and I began to diligently seek the Lord's direction as to where He would have us start a ministry when we returned. We surveyed a good portion of the country and were specifically praying about a few areas. The first is the region of Blumenau, in the state of Santa Catarina, in the southern part of Brazil. There are four cities there within a 10-kilometer radius with a combined population of 510,000 people, and yet no independent fundamental Baptist ministries are there. We're also considering an area in the southern part of the state of São Paulo called the Vale do Paraíba. There are several cities there with a combined population of over 1 million people without a good church. And finally, we're considering the city of Guaxupé. This city has 52,000 people, and there's a tremendous need for the gospel. It's less materialistic as the previously mentioned locations, but it suffers from a deeper spiritual darkness. This city is in great need of a gospel-preaching church. So as we seek the Lord's direction, please do not cease to pray for us as we work to spread the gospel in Brazil.
Well, amen. It is so good to be here with you all on this Lord's Day. As we mentioned in the video, my name is Zach. This is my wife, Stephanie, over here. We do have four children terrorizing people all throughout the campus this morning. Hopefully you all will get to meet them this morning. But we are church planting missionaries serving the Lord in Brazil. We've been in Brazil since August, of 2018. I don't want to rehash everything that we said on the video, the Lord has given us further direction. We made that video when we came off the field for furlough. We've been praying and asking the Lord what the Lord would have us, where the Lord would have us to return and start a ministry, and the Lord has answered that prayer. At the end of the video, I shared three different areas, and the area that we believe the Lord's calling us to is the region of Blumenau. So I just want to take about 5 or 10 minutes to give you a little overview about this region, about this area, and hopefully I can help you better pray for us. Blumenau is all the way in the southern part of Brazil. It's the second southernmost state of Brazil, in the state of Santa Catarina. And if you looked at it on a map, you could draw a square. It's about 10 square kilometers, and on each corner of the square is a city. You have Pomerode, which was the original city that was started back in the 1800s, from which all the other, the population has grown from. So you have Pomerode, you have Blumenau, which is the largest city. There's 300,000 people in Blumenau. And then you have Timbó and Indaial. And the combined population of these four cities in this square is 500,000 people, 510,000 people there. And to the best of our knowledge, there is not an independent Baptist church preaching the gospel there, and there never has been. And now Pomerode, which is the first city, was started by German immigrants back in the late 1800s. The Germans were fleeing Nazi Germany, and there was land down there in this part of Brazil. It was very mountainous, and so it wasn't very conducive for growing the crops that Brazil is known for, things like sugarcane and coffee. And so it really wasn't a habited area, but it was this open land, and so the Brazilian government said to the Germans, "Hey, we've got this land down here in the southern part of Brazil that's not being used for anything. It's mountainous. It's very similar to the mountains in Germany. Why don't you bring your agriculture over from Germany and you can have the land for free?" And so they made some contracts with some Germans, and so the Germans came over and brought their agriculture with them, and from that we now have 500,000 people living in that region. What's interesting, because of the German the German influence and the German history and the background there, every year in this region, in Blumenau, they host the world's second largest Oktoberfest. And so they see, from when we were there and visiting this area and we got to talking to the people there, they said they see up to 600,000 tourists during that week of the Oktoberfest from all over the world. And it allows people to come to Brazil and they get to experience the Brazilian tourism and, you know, all of those things while also getting to celebrate some of the European history there. And now what I always find so funny is when I met my wife back about 10 years ago, we'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary in May, I told her that we would be missionaries going to Ireland. I had taken a missions trip there with my father. My father's been my pastor pretty much all my life until I moved to Madison, Alabama. And so we took a missions trip, our youth group, to Ireland, and I really fell in love with the place, really liked the place and the people, and I always thought that we were going to go there. So I told my wife we were going to be missionaries to Ireland. Now, the Lord redirected our paths and, of course, called us to Brazil, but here I am, and I'll be able to put a gospel track in the hands of Irish. They see about 10,000 Irish will come to Brazil during the Oktoberfest to celebrate the Oktoberfest, and I just think that is so neat. But I just ask that you all would pray for us. We are sent out of Madison Baptist Church, which is up in Madison, Alabama, all the way in the northern part of the state, up by the border of Alabama and Tennessee. And, in fact, you all support our ministry partner, Brother Nate Nichols. He and I are working together as a church planning team. Now, we are not doing anything unique. We're not doing anything different. We've got no new ideas, no new methods, none of that. We are simply church planting missionaries. And we firmly believe that the vehicle that the Lord Himself established in the New Testament for propagating the gospel is the local New Testament church. And so it's our desire to get down to Brazil. We purchased our tickets just a couple weeks ago. We'll be returning to the field on August 25th. And we'll be just get boots on the ground and start working, spreading the gospel and planting local New Testament churches. Our desire is to start our first church in the city of Pomerode at the end of this year. And then, Lord willing, if the Lord would allow us and direct our paths, we would hope to have another church, a second church established in the city of Blumenau, the neighboring city to its south, in early or summer of 2024. Now, if there's anything from our video that I would hope that you would take away, that you would remember, and I want to say this because You know, as a missionary, I have one opportunity to be here. I have one opportunity to be with you. Whether it's a church that supports us or not, whether it's even if it's a supporting church that has been supporting us very faithfully, we only get one opportunity to be with them while we're here on furlough. And when my wife and I and our family go back to Brazil, we don't know that we'll be able to take another furlough like this again. We've had to take a longer furlough because we have to increase our support quite significantly before we go back. But once we go back to Brazil and we start a church and we have that responsibility, coming back on furlough is not going to be something that we can take lightly. And if we do, we don't get to come back for very long. So my point is this. As we travel and we visit churches, of course, we want to be a blessing and we want to be an encouragement to you and encourage you and strengthen you in some things. But I don't just want to be an encouragement. I think we get a lot of encouragement and there's a lot of encouraging things that can be said and a lot of encouraging preachers and all that. And that's wonderful. But I want to be a challenge. I want to hopefully leave you with something that you will not forget. Now, on my video, I took the time to go online and look at some statistics. I wanted to know how many Brazilians died during our time in Brazil. And in the 4 years that we were in Brazil on our first term, almost to the number, 5 million Brazilians died and went off into eternity. Now, those are my responsibility. If God has not called you to Brazil, then it's not your responsibility to go. Now, if He has called you to Brazil, you need to go home and pack your bags and get to Brazil. If God's called you anywhere, as the missionaries have come and presented their ministries, if the Lord has laid that on your heart, you better surrender. However, if the Lord hasn't, if God's called you right here to serve in this church, then you need to do that. But now these Brazilians, they are a burden on my shoulder. They are my responsibility to reach. And so what the local church does is the local church supports missionaries to go and preach the gospel to the people that they cannot reach themselves. So that's what you do. You've been supporting. I've looked on the board here, and it's always interesting to look at the missionaries, the various missionaries the churches support. Some of them I've known. Some of them I was on deputation together and built friendships with. Some of them I just see their names on boards. But it's always interesting to see all of the missionaries that you have been supporting, and you're supporting them to go and give the gospel to people that you cannot. Now, those 5 million Brazilians, their blood is on my hands. They are my responsibility. The churches that support us are supporting us to go and reach them. But you know, there is two sides of that same coin. And I think I can speak on behalf of just about every missionary that I've ever known and all the missionaries that I am friends with, that we love our country. I love the United States of America. I am a patriot. I'm American. I love my country. I love Americans. And it's very near and dear to my heart to see as we came off the field, it hurts to see how much this country has changed. We were only in Brazil for 4 years. This country, when we returned to it, was not the same when we left it 4 years ago. It wasn't the same. It's just not the same. And unfortunately, nothing has changed for the better. It is not getting better. The country here is not becoming more Christian. There are not more people born again. The churches seem to not be growing. And it really burdens my heart to see that if there was 5 million Brazilians that died and went off into eternity during those 4 years of my absence, how many Americans died in those 4 years? Well, in the United States, we have 100 million more citizens here than in Brazil. So a simple math would say about 7.5 million Americans died in those 4 years that I was in Brazil. Now, while I was in Brazil, there was nothing I could do about that. God did not call me to church plant in the United States. He has not called me to pastor in the United States. He has not called me to spread the gospel in the United States. He's called me to give my life to Brazilians and to spread the gospel in Brazil. And as the church supports the missionaries to go and give the gospel in places where the church cannot, the missionaries are counting on the local church to do the very same thing in this country. This country needs the gospel today now more than it's ever. There are people around you every single day who are dying and going off into eternity. And it amazes me how many people in the United States of America, of all places, who have never heard, have never had someone besides a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon come by and knock on their door and share the gospel with them. And that hurts. It's painful to me to know that. And so I want to be an encouragement to you. We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. We have a purpose. As a local New Testament church, our purpose, our calling is to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Every single person on this planet needs to know that Jesus Christ loves them, dies for them, and has given them the opportunity to trust in Him as their personal Savior. So please pray for us as we head off to Brazil. We simply want to see the Lord do something miraculous, do something wonderful in this place. We cannot wait to get there. We're just, it seems like every week we're online looking at homes and looking at rental properties for a church and just waiting for the Lord to direct us in a certain way. So we just ask that you'd pray for us on that. Again, we leave on August 25th. So just a few more short months of traveling on furlough and we'll be heading that way. All right. So for the last 25-ish minutes, well, we'll open it up for question and answer. Now, I want, again, like I said, I want to be a blessing to you. We only have one opportunity, one single day that we get to be with you over the course of many years. So ask any question that you might have. If you want to put my wife on the spot, I would love for you to do that. make her stand up in front of some people. But I hope to be a blessing to you. Now, here's the deal. The more questions that you ask, the less that I have to preach this morning. So keep the questions coming. All right, we got a question. Go ahead, the guys with the microphones, you just go ahead and choose somebody. And
what about you? When you get to the city you're going to, there's no Christians, and you want to plant a church. What do you do? What's the first thing you would do? Because it's the same thing for us. When we go into a neighborhood, what do we do? How do we talk to people about the Lord, and we've never met Him before, and we just say, hi, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Yeah, we're very fortunate in Brazil. Brazilians are very kind and very gentle people, and they love to talk. Okay, so they hate being rude, and they will go out of their way to make sure they are not rude to anybody. And so approaching Brazilians with the gospel of Jesus Christ is you'll never have a door slammed in your face. Now, where we are going in Brazil, there are very few, if any, born again Christians. But Christianity is very, very prominent there if you're talking about Christianity from a secular worldview. The Lutheran Church is very prominent in this region, of course, coming over from Germany. And there are different sects of the Lutheran Church, more liberal and more traditional and all that. But, so there is a base knowledge of the Word of God that we have to work very hard to penetrate through to make sure that they are trusting in the Son Himself and not in their works. Everybody knows the right words to say, by grace through faith, and that's wonderful. Anyone in the Christian worldview would say those words, but once you get to talking with them, you realize that's not actually what they believe. And you quickly realize that for a lot of people, they either believe what they say they don't believe, or they don't believe what they say they do believe. And it just takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of investment in them, with Brazilians, as long as you invest yourself and show the Brazilians how much you love them, their culture, their country, and how much you care, they'll listen, and they'll listen to the gospel. Yeah. All right. Anyone else?
You've been there 4 years. I know the last missionary was here, so pray for the missionaries that they'll get a good handle on the language. How is your language and your kids? Are they developing now? Are they speaking Spanish, I guess?
Language, for me, it will be a lifelong endeavor. I am not good at language. I never took any foreign language in high school, and I managed to get through Bible college without ever having to take Greek. So Portuguese was my first introduction to a foreign language. You're always learning. You're always increasing your vocabulary. But as far as my kids go, when we arrived in Brazil, our kids were very young. Caitlin was the oldest. She was only 3. You know, it went 3, 1, and then Chloe was only a couple months old. Caitlin has picked up Portuguese the best of all of them, but she's only 7 at the moment. I would expect that this next term, their language capabilities and acquisition of Portuguese will happen very rapidly. It usually is the case with missionary kids. And it won't be long before Caitlin will be speaking around me, you know. Just the way it is. Over here.
You said that in the latter part of your first 4 years, you worked with a national pastor, which was a Brazilian pastor, of course, with the Portuguese language with the 4 years. Did you go to language school? And if so, how long were you there? And how were you used within the church of the national pastor there?
Okay. We immediately upon arrival in Brazil, about 3 months after we got there and got settled in, and we moved from a small city in the state of Minas Gerais. We moved over to Franca, São Paulo, and in Franca is where we lived for the rest of our term. And in Franca is a larger city. They had a language school. We were there in language school for about a year and a half. And then my language teacher, I hired him on privately to continue language learning at home. Then the pandemic hit, of course, and that hurt Portuguese acquisition quite a bit. Everybody puts on a mask, you know, and trying to understand a foreign language, and everybody's talking like this, and you can't, you know, it just made things very difficult. God was good, though. I was able to pastor the church that was started there by one of our missionaries out of our church. While he came here on furlough, I stepped in for him and watched over the work in his absence, and that was a great opportunity to preach in Portuguese and to further the language. And then when we moved over to the national pastor's church, still was a church in the same city in Franca. That was the original church that was started back in, I think, in the 80s, maybe early 90s, by a missionary by the name of Robbie Smith. And we were able to get involved, as I said, in the various ministries of that church. But we were traveling so much. We spent the last year of our term traveling Brazil, and we stayed all throughout Brazil surveying the country. So we weren't able to be back at the home church there for too long. But while we were there, we got involved in just all of its ministries. They have a Bible college, a Bible institute, I guess you could say, more like a seminary for preacher boys. So I was able to teach in that a little bit. We were involved in their evangelism, their music ministry as well. And that really, that ministry there is what really helped my children get acclimated to the language. The pandemic was finally on the back end. It was only about a few months before we left the field, before we came back on furlough, they finally got rid of the masks. And that was just last year, so... Right here.
I'm Phil Myers. I teach the junior church during the 11 o'clock hour. And after you're finished challenging these people to sell their houses and move to Brazil to help you, I wonder if you'd come to junior church and talk to my kids there and give them a passion for reaching either by encouraging their parents or coming when they get out of college.
Amen. Yes, sir. I believe I am scheduled to be with the kids after the service here.
Yes, what is the political climate regarding the church with this new government?
You know, it's uncertain. It depends on who you ask at the moment. They just elected a very... I can't really talk about it, actually. Just pray for the church there. Some things I can't, since we're live streaming, I can't speak at the moment. Just pray for the church. At the moment, we still have the freedom to do what we are there to do, plant churches and preach the gospel. But there's a lot of volatility at the moment, so just keep us in your prayers.
You mentioned that you're looking for a place to rent, house, a building. Are you planning on starting a church in your house, or are you looking for a storefront?
We are looking for a separate location away from our home to start a church. We can start a church in the home. That would just depend on the home. But really, in the reason that we are serving, where we will be serving the Lord in, we really need to have our own dedicated location for the church. It's just safer, and it's something a little bit more respected by the people. Back here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This question is for you and Stephanie.
Okay.
Have you seen any death in the areas that you have traveled? Have you experienced any communication with the deaf? Or do you know of any ministry that is geared to minister to the deaf?
So she asked about deaf in Brazil. Now, where we are, where we served in Franca, I'm sure there are deaf people there, but I did not come in contact with any myself. Now, we were able to fellowship with missionaries who are there serving the Lord specifically for the deaf. And in the city of Ribeirão Preto, I think I mentioned it to you, about 5 hours north of São Paulo, there's a missionary there. In fact, there's a whole family of missionaries that have several missionary kids out of that family. And they've been there for many years, and they're serving the Lord with the deaf. And it always amazes me. I have such a tremendous respect for those missionaries, because in order to go to a foreign field, at least Brazil, and I don't know the deaf language of all countries, but to go to Brazil to preach the gospel to the deaf, you have to learn Portuguese, because the language, the sign language in Portuguese is not the same sign language as in English. It's a Portuguese sign language. So you have to learn two separate languages. You have to learn American Sign Language, you have to learn Brazilian Sign Language, and you have to learn Portuguese. I struggle enough with one language. I can't imagine trying to learn all these languages. And so we were able to we were able to visit two different churches that have deaf ministries. And watching the missionaries up there signing for the deaf is just an amazing thing. I'll never forget it. Amen. Over here.
So, your outreach in Brazil, is that based out of people coming to the church that was established, or are you going out knocking on doors or walking through squares, or are you passing out tracts, or just if you can elaborate on that, I'm very
sure.
Interested in that.
We just the old-fashioned way. We go out and knock on doors, and the best thing about Brazil is that Brazilians are very active, and they're outside all the time. So you can go to the town squares, you can hand out gospel tracts, talk to people about the Lord, invite them out to church. With Brazilians, when you knock on a door, like I said before, because they're so kind and such a tender people group, they're not going to slam a door in your face. In fact, what will happen quite often is they'll invite you immediately into the home. They'll put a snack in the oven to make, usually what's called pão de queijo, which is a cheese bread. It's like a small little biscuit of cheese bread. They'll put some coffee on, because every Brazilian loves coffee. And you'll sit down and you'll chat with them for hours. And sometimes you have to be the rude one, because you want to go out and knock on as many doors as you can. But you'll be there for an hour or two just chatting with them, and they want to know who you are. And, they're just such kind people. And so you have to be the rude one and say, hey, listen, I got other things I got to go do, you know, and so you have to leave. But it is a joy to be out and meeting people. People love to meet you. They love to talk with you. They love to get to know who you are, especially when you're an American and you're speaking with an accent. And they're like, where are you from? And you tell them you're an American. Whoa, that's so cool, you know. And so it's just it's another avenue, another way to get in the door, to get the gospel to them. Another strategy, and I think it works everywhere. Like I said, you just got to invest in people. So you go back to the same mechanic over and over again. You go to the same grocery store at the same time to talk to the same cashier. And, you know, you're just, you're just investing in people, helping people. And if you do that, you love on them, they'll be receptive of the gospel. There's not a step plan or anything like that. No, it really is a case by case basis. When you approach an individual, you'll know, whether or not you have the ability to pursue something more than simply inviting them to church. If they're just running past you, hey, can I invite you to church? And then they're gone. It really depends on the situation, whether you're knocking on the door or whether it's somebody with three kids that are acting, crazy, and you're not going to be able to get their attention. It just depends. You just got to make sure that you're following the Holy Spirit when you're out sharing the gospel. Right over here.
Out of curiosity, why are you choosing that one town or city? I guess that I don't want to butcher the name, but
Blumenau. Yeah.
Thank you. And then, second on that, what's your timeline?
Timeline for?
What do you anticipate this timeline?
Okay. Okay, he asked, first off, how do we choose, the reason that we're going to? And then number two, as far as timeline, brother, is my thing working all right? Okay. as far as why we chose Blumenau, it just seemed as though the Lord had directed our steps there. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and it's not to say that I'm a good man. I'm not. But I do believe that one way that we can discern the will of God is simply by through wisdom and discernment and seeing what doors the Lord has opened and which ones he has closed. The Lord just really directed both my heart and the heart of my ministry partner, Brother Nate Nichols, who you all support, to go to this region, to Pomorogi and Blumenau. And the Lord kind of just really put that heavy burden on our hearts for this region, collectively together as a team. And so that's the reason why we're going. As far as timeline goes, as I mentioned, our desire is to start a church immediately in Pomorogi and at the end of this year, and then have a second church up and running in Blumenau in 2024. As far as how long it will take for us to get those churches self-supporting, turned over to a national pastor, and moving on to starting new churches in the other two cities in this region. We want to have a church in all four of these cities. That really just, it really just depends on a lot of different factors. Namely, usually the one factor that takes the longest is not necessarily building the church and winning souls, but it's getting a person trained in the Word of God, getting them from zero, freshly born again, they're a babe in Christ with no knowledge of the Word of God, of Baptist fundamental theology, trying to get them from zero to 100, where they are able to pastor a church that we have planted. You have to be very careful with that. You don't want to spend 5-10 years building a church only for it to be destroyed in liberal theology by someone who just was not prepared to take over the church. And that has happened many, many times in Brazil, where churches are turned over just too soon or to the wrong individual, and then everything that you built is destroyed within just a year or two. So that is the greatest struggle, and that just takes a lot of discernment and wisdom before we can do that. Over here, we have someone over here. Yes, ma'am.
Just to be clear, the people that came from Germany years ago, they speak Portuguese also?
So when we visited there, yes, they all speak Portuguese at this time. It's been a little over about almost 150 years since they came. But the generation, I would say, of my grandfather's generation, that age, over in Brazil, in that part of Pomerode, they still speak German. And so listening to them speaking German, a Portuguese with a German accent, if you know anything about Portuguese, it's much like Spanish, but Spanish is much more forward in the mouth. It's a lighter, fluffier language compared to Portuguese, which is very throatal, it's deep, it's got a lot of loud sounds to the language. And you couple that with German, and it is just one of the most interesting sounds you'll ever hear come out of the mouth of a human being. But that's just a very small portion of the population there, just the really older crowd that speak like that.
I take that Stephanie will be homeschooling. Okay. Do you actually work with the Nichols? Are you going to be there with them?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I hear that there are a lot of kids in the streets in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and poverty is really high. Do you plan to do anything with kids at first, or that's down the road after you get established?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think one of the keys to starting a church is working with the youth and working with the children. There's just because a person is an adult and has money doesn't make them any more valuable of a human being. And so we will give the gospel without prejudice. It doesn't really matter who the person is. They all need to hear the gospel. So, all right, over here.
When you find a candidate who's interested in pursuing the local pastor, how will the training look? Will that be one-on-one? Will they go to a Bible school? Will it be correspondence? What would that look like?
Most likely, at first, the way I have seen it done in the past is, you know, that you have one-on-one discipleship until you have a church established with several individuals who feel like the Lord has called them into ministry, at which point our desire will be to start a Bible Institute to train young people in the ministry. Now, that is a vision much later in the future. But that is certainly a desire of ours to get Brazil lacks Bible seminaries and institutes of training people in ministry. It's just something that they lack. They don't have Bible colleges like we have here. Our desire is not to start some big Bible college, but in the region that we'll be serving, once we have several churches up and running, there will be a great need for something to send people to receive training in the Word of God for ministry. All right, 4 more minutes. Y'all done good with questions.
Maybe I'm loud. Maybe I'm not loud enough.
That's the life.
It's quite interesting. I know the Nichols very well. His uncle is Dick Nichols, who has been a friend of mine, more than a friend, family, for over 50 years. So you got one strike good for you right there.
Amen.
Number 2, I just text someone from your church, and Anthony and Lori gives you a thumbs up.
Oh, good. Amen.
The Beacon, you know them. They give you a thumbs up.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know.
Okay. All right, where are the microphones at here? We got another question? I think right here.
Sorry, ma'am.
Thank you. I just want to know, I'm just curious. My father used to pray a lot, and sometimes I say, why Papa always praying? And I want to know, and I hear a lot what you're saying. It's a lot for you to do. So it takes you a lot of prayer, and you and your wife. I'm just thinking about, is she praying? How much you guys have to pray for wisdom and to overcome what you have to do in your mission?
Amen.
So,
yes, ma'am.
That's my question. I say, how much they pray?
Oh, how much do we pray?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't tell you how much. Certainly not enough. We believe prayer changes things. And I think prayer is one of those things that Christians don't really realize the power that exists in simply communicating to the Lord our needs. And oftentimes we wait until the very last minute to do that. We're waiting until we need something instead of just having a good conversation with the Lord. So please keep us in your prayers. All right, one more minute and then we're done. Anyone have any more questions? I think right over here, she hasn't asked, right here.
Hi, I wanted to know what your wife's role is, like, in your daily life and your missionary journey.
She's the glue that holds everything together. Yeah, her focus right now is our children. Children are very young, and so they keep her running nonstop. And I certainly could not do what we do, and I could not be a missionary without my wife. She's the strength of the family. She really is. Amen. I think we can do one more question before that turns 45, and then we're done. I think we had a question right here.
Yeah, simple question. In Santa Catarina, I believe not long ago, they had a good-sized population of Japanese in that area also. Do you know if that's still so? And if it is, do you see any Japanese in any of the churches that you've visited or has worked in?
That is a really good question. That is not something that I am aware of. I did not know that. I don't doubt it, though. Santa Catarina is a place where a lot of immigrants come to. And as far as seeing any, I have not seen very many of an Asian population of any kind where we served in Franca or even in Blumenau. Now, I'm sure that they're there, but I'm just not aware of that. All right, church, thank you so much for your love and kindness. If you have any more questions for us or you're too shy, didn't want to be put on a spot, just come see us after the service and we'll be sure to be a blessing to you.